Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Commerce Department today says that personal spending, which measures purchases ranging from cars and clothes to health care and heating, rose 0.3% in May from April. Personal incomes rose 0.5% in May, while the savings rate ticked up 0.2 percentage point to 3.2%. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending June the 20th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 26.9. Corn this year, 13.3. Next year, 6.0. And soybeans this year, 0.5. And next year, 16.6. Argentina's government has halted wheat exports as it grapples with rising prices for flour and bread. The government has informed exporters that it will not authorize further shipments from the 2012-13 crop. The government also ordered grain exporters to sell about 370,000 metric tons of wheat to local Argentina millers that it was about to be exported. Conagra Foods posted a fiscal fourth quarter profit for the quarter ending May 26th. ConAgra reported a profit of $192.2 million, or 45 cents a share. That's compared with a loss of $86.2 million, or 21 cents a share, a year earlier. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 15,040. It's up 130.5 points. The NASDAQ 3401 up almost 25. And the S&P 500 is 1615. And it is up almost 13 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will likely see some timely rainfall as temperatures trend cooler than usual over the coming week to 10 days, and that's likely to set the stage for a number of issues to arrive. Number one, the degree day accumulations will fall off from normal once again, and that'll raise some concerns since so much of the crop was planted late. But this isn't something that's going to fester into a long-term trend pattern. I think we will see warmer weather come on as we move forward into the middle to latter part of July. We may have other bouts of cooler weather, but we're also going to have some warmer conditions as well. Similar to what occurred in the past week, I think we'll do well with getting degree day accumulations back on track. But it'll probably be a good week to 10 days before we start seeing warming back across the region again. Now, today will still be fairly warm across a big part of the Midwest, and we'll likely see afternoon highs today still in the 80s across a big part of the region. 70-degree readings will start showing up across the Great Lakes region and the upper parts of the Mississippi River Basin tomorrow afternoon, while everybody else is in the 80s and the temperatures near 90 in the far southwest. So we move out towards Saturday and Sunday. We'll like to see that cooler air overspread the rest of the Midwest, and highs by Sunday afternoon will be in the 70s throughout all of the Midwest. And we'll likely see the milder conditions staying with us through a big part of next week, although some moderation will occur in the cooler air. We'll likely see daily highs running mostly in the 70s and lower 80s throughout a big part of the work week next week. Low temperatures at night during these cooler days will be mostly in the 50s. There will be a few upper 40s in the far north. There will be also a few readings in the south that may get or stay above 60 degrees. Now, I do expect to see showers and some thunderstorms occur in quite a few areas across the Midwest over the next 10 days. The precipitation initially will be focused on the eastern part of the Midwest. And in this first week of the outlook, we might see a couple tenths of an inch to three quarters of an inch in Illinois, while areas further to the east will probably see amounts more like four tenths of an inch to an inch and a half, with some local amounts to 2 inches. Now, some of this precipitation will occur on a daily basis rather than all at once, and that will likely hinder some of the field work that may need to be done. But it will also allow for the moisture to soak into the soil rather slowly, and giving a long-term perspective for crops that will likely be favorable. we'll expect to see in the second week of the two-week outlook focus rain on the plains in the western Corn Belt, perhaps. Some of the precipitation that's been advertised in the computer forecast model data today is probably overdone, and I don't think it'll be quite as wet as the models are suggesting for those areas. But nevertheless, there will be rain in those regions, and we ought to get to July 10th in a relatively good position with moisture at adequate to abundant levels across a big part of the Midwest. That is important since we can then probably make it out a good 2 weeks without any other precipitation, and that puts us at the beginning of reproduction for corn, and we'll still have some moisture to work with. That's assuming, of course, it doesn't rain during that period of time. The odds are very good that it will rain, at least periodically, so we'll probably be able to get into the first part of the pollination season in relatively good shape. The big question is, how will weather be in early August? Well, the temperatures here across the Midwest will be turning cooler in this first week, as I mentioned before, but the second week will be turning a little more seasonable again across the region. We should see a lot more 80-degree highs during that particular period of time. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading in Kansas City. July wheat, 698 and a quarter up 4. July wheat in Chicago, 670 up 3. July corn at 665 and 3 quarters is up 1 and a quarter. December at 540 is down 4. July soybeans, 1544 up 9 and 3 quarters. November, 1278 and 3 quarters up 2 and 3 quarters. July soybean meal, 470.60 up 730. July soybean oil, 46.50 down 13. June line cattle, 121.47 and a half up 20. August feeders, 149.52 and a half up 60, and July lean hogs at 182 and a half up 87 and one half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
It's a quiet market, although I will say that if you believe in foreshadowing of what Friday's reports are going to tell us, certainly, the July corn, soybean contract has been really strong this week. Everybody thinking that there isn't many soybeans left.
Right. The average trade estimate there is 441 million bushels. And should that come to be, that's extremely low. It would also show pretty good disappearance this last quarter. I think, in general, the way you could say with the market structure is that the traders believe that we'll see a friendly stocks report and a negative plannings report.
Mm-hmm.
But I would throw out that this plannings report's just almost the equivalent of a second intentions report, because as of June 1, which is what the data collects, there were a lot of unplanted corn and bean acres. But if you thought you were going to get that planted, that's counted as a planted acre.
Right. So the question will become, and everybody will be wondering and first look to see if USDA has any language in the report saying they are going to resurvey part of the corn and soybean belts.
I would anticipate that they will, particularly from Minnesota, maybe South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and perhaps even Iowa. I don't know if they can break out the northern part of the state versus the southern part of the state, but the northern part of Iowa is the area that has had a lot of unplanted acres.
How tight are the old crop soybeans? Well, we're at 125 million bushels according to USDA, but if we get certain numbers off that quarterly stocks report, you know what, you can probably make a case for something around 50.
Yeah, you could, and USDA won't get down that low.
Right.
They'll want to keep ending stocks above 100 or 110, I would think, no matter what. And they can do that with a magic pencil by increasing last year's supply or just about anything they want to do to keep that number a more workable number without an explosive reaction.
Are we looking in for any kind of high volatility tomorrow in the corn market?
Not quite as much as in the bean side of things. I think the explosion could easily come on the stocks report should USDA come out with a number that's 2.7 billion bushel or less. Certainly 2.856, which is the average trade estimate, gives a little bit of wiggle room, but surely the spreads reflect awfully tight supplies.
Will they make any adjustment to 2012 production? That's the big
question.
Yeah,
that's really part of the question, and I think that they probably will on either the corn or the beans, and I guess I favor making an adjustment on the beans.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Moreton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, July wheat in Kansas City, 698 and a quarter, up 4. July wheat in Chicago, 670 and a quarter, up 3 and a quarter. July corn, 665 and a half, up 1. December at 539, down 5. July beans, 1544, up 9 and 3 quarters. November, 1277 and a quarter, up 1 and a quarter, now 1. July soybean meal, 471, up 770. July soybean oil, 46.48, down 15, now 14. June live cattle, 121.40, up 12 and a half. And July lean hogs at 187 and a half, now 80 even, up 85. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.